All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 11. Genesis, chapter 11. I'm going to start right here. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture tonight. And I'm going to tie some things together for you to try to help you understand a little bit better of just exactly what the devil is doing in our world today. You know, the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, outside of our Savior, the wisest man that ever lived made a statement one time and said, "There is nothing new under the sun." I remember when I was in Bible college, I had a professor, and I took every class that I could take, every Bible class I could take that where he was the instructor. He was an absolute brilliant man and a wonderful teacher. I just absorbed everything that he taught. And I remember him saying, back in the middle 70s, when this, charismatic thing mushroomed, when it just exploded across the country. And that was when Jimmy Swaggart was on TV 14 times a day, and Jim Baker and PTL and all that. You remember that time period? Well, when all of that exploded, I remember him saying that there is nothing new under the sun. And he said the devil has a plan, just like God has a plan. The devil has a plan, and the devil has a will for this world, just like God has a will for this world. You know, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, just as God has a will for the world, the devil has a will for the world. And the devil's will is to get you into hell. Now, that's what he's all about. And if he has to lie to you to get you there, that's what he'll do. If he has to deceive, that's what he'll do. If he has to mask, that's what he'll do. He'll just do whatever it takes to get you there. And I remember old Dr. Dollar saying when that charismatic movement just exploded, he said, he looked at all of us and he said, now men, listen, there's nothing new under the sun. He said, the goal is the same. The goal is the same. And all this is the old harlot has just put on a new dress. The old harlot has just put on a new dress. The old harlot from Revelation 17. And he just paused. And I remember instantly, it was just like someone kicked on a light for me. It's just amazing how the devil... the same goal, but he uses whatever is available at the time. Now, here in Genesis 11 is where the devil shows his hand right at the beginning. All right, the flood is done with. The sons of Noah have married, they were married and they started having children. their children started having children. And we have the generations of the sons of Noah in chapter 10. All right, then immediately in verse 1 of chapter 11, the Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." The whole earth, everybody spoke the same language. "And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." Now, do you want to know where the plain in the land of Shinar is? Where it was and where it still is? It's Iraq. It's Iraq. Just a little ways, just across the river, basically, across the river from Baghdad, Iraq. All right, so they dwelt there. Look at verse 3. "And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar." Now this slime was natural tar, natural tar that just bubbles in the earth. All right, so they had brick for stone and slime, tar, they had for mortar. "And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name.'" Let us make us a name, "lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." The word Babel means confusion. All right, we say somebody is a babbling fool. All right, that's where the word comes from. And the word Babel means confusion. Now, please realize the timing of this. All right, this is shortly after the flood. This is shortly after the flood. Just exactly when, I don't know. Don't guess anybody knows for sure. But it is just a few generations after the flood. And so the population of the earth is not that great. They're all together. They came off the ark at Ararat, and they came down off the mountain into the plain of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They stayed there. They all spoke the same language. Everybody spoke the same language. And what God is describing here is, if you look at verse 6, you will see the little word, "which they have imagined to do." You know, the imagination of man is an amazing thing. It is absolutely an amazing thing. And man, left to his own imagination, is going to be a wreck. It is going to be chaos. All right, so what did these people do? Well, what they tried to do was build a tower where they could get to heaven. And basically what happened here, if you look at verse 4, let us build us. Look at all the personal references here. Let us build us. Where's God in all this? See, they don't want anything to do with God. They want God out of the picture. Does that kind of sound like today? Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Folks, we are to make a name for God. See, they didn't want that. They wanted themselves to be running the show, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So what you have here basically is the formation of humanism. This is where it all started. This is basically the foundation of false religion. This is where it all started, right here. And there's nothing new under the sun. All right? The devil has been using false religion and all of these Hinduism and all this stuff. The devil's been using it for generations. Now, right after the flood, what does man do? He rebels against God. And the amazing thing is, back in the 1800s, I think it was early 1800s, if I remember right, the British went to the ruins of Babel. And by the way, when we invaded Iraq, the first time under George Sr., and then when we invaded the second time under the last Bush, the United States Air Force and all the military were given strict directions not to disturb the ruins of Nineveh and the ruins of Babylon. A couple of our folks who were in the military when I pastored in Joliet, there was one fellow there who went the first time, and then we've had a couple who have been in the military for the second one, and they emailed me pictures of them standing at the ruins of Babylon. And, Pastor, I bet you wish you could be here. Well, yes. And during the millennium, I'm going to go check it out. All right? I don't want to go there now, but during the millennium, I'm going to go check it out. And it was back in the 1800s. The British went in and started to excavate the ruins of Babylon and the ruins of Nineveh. And when they started digging, they found some documents. They found some stone tablets, and they took them back to London, and they started to translate. They started to figure out what was on there. And when they read it, basically what it was describing what Genesis 11 is telling us. And it was describing a religion. And it was It was a humanistic religion. Let us make us a name. They did not want God ruling over them. Instead, they chose to follow their own path. All right? Now, that is right after the flood. Please keep that in mind. Right after the flood. And what do these people do? They form a religion. They form a religion. And the effort was to get rid of God and do things themselves. All right, let's pray real quick. Our Father, I want to thank you so much for the Bible. I pray you'll bless us tonight and give us understanding of the Scriptures. I pray the Holy Spirit will be the teacher. And Lord, that we will learn some things tonight that will give us a better understanding of our world today. Father, just fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. And then help each one of us as we listen. May we learn much tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. All right, when they found these ruins, when they translated this stuff, they found out that there was a god with a small g that these people in Babylon were worshiping. He had a name, and his name was Bel, B-E-L. B-E-L, that was his name. And over time, throughout the entire Middle East, throughout the whole area, the Old Testament scriptures reveal to us that this Bel became known throughout Canaan, the land of Canaan, as the god Baal, B-A-A-L. Now, you're familiar with that one, aren't you? You know that name. That name, Baal, is all through our Old Testament. When the people of Babel scattered because God confounded their language and forced them to scatter, they took this religion that started at the Tower of Babel with them. They took it with them. That religion, every civilization throughout human history has had its religion that is devoted to the god, actually it's a goddess, the goddess that was worshipped in Babylon. It's interesting. The Incas, the Mayans, the tribal nations of North Africa, even the Chinese, the Nordics, and the English people, the Goths, and the Norse people of the Northern Europe. All of these nations have had in their past a religion that is devoted to a god or a goddess that is connected and can be traced back to Bel. Now, where did it come from? It came from Babel. It came from Babel. So when the children of Israel got out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses, when they got out of Egypt and finally reached Canaan, they found the Canaanites worshiping the old Babylonian religion of of Baal, and in the land of Canaan, it was called Baal, All right? Now, Bel, B-E-L, and Baal, B-A-A-L, both mean Lord. They both mean Lord. All right? Now, what I want you to understand is that God had absolutely nothing to do with the religion that these people were practicing in Babylon, in Babel. Matter of fact, when God came down and stopped it, why? Because it was false religion. It was religion without Him. And so He came down and He scattered these people for saying in verse 6, who knows what they'll do if I don't stop this? Who knows what they'll do? All right? Now, I want you to understand something, folks. This is right after the flood. So 4,000 plus years of history has passed. Here we are now in 2014. And so the flood was 4,000 years ago. And what I want you to realize is that the religion that permeates the Middle East today, Islam, that religion started at the Tower of Babel. Now, it was not called Islam. It was called Bel. All right? It did not become Islam until 620 A.D. under Muhammad. But the religion had been there since the Tower of Babel. And just as God inspired, the Holy Spirit inspired biblical writers to sit down and put the Word of God together, and just as God inspired holy men of old to write the Scriptures, the devil inspired Muhammad to sit down and take this religion that had been practiced by the people of the Middle East for centuries. It was Bel, and then it became Baal, and the children of Israel battled it, and it eventually caused their demise because they followed it instead of God. And so just as God stopped it at the Tower of Babel, He cut off Israel and Judah because they followed that religion. Both Israel, the northern tribes, and Judah, the southern tribes, lost their right to be a nation under God because they followed this false religion. Now, it was not called Islam in the Old Testament. Again, that did not become an entity until 620 AD. But what I'm wanting you to understand is that that same religion started at the Tower of Babel. It was the same religion. Now, after the Roman Empire fizzled, the region of the Middle East was prime. It was ready for the devil to crank things up a notch. The symbol of the religion of Baal was the crescent moon. Does that ring any bells with anybody? The symbol of the religion of Baal was the crescent moon. Now, let me show you from the Bible, and I've showed you this before. We'll go over to the book of Judges for just a minute. Judges chapter 8. Judges chapter 8. Well, go back to 7 for just a minute. Look at verse 1 in chapter 7. Judges 7. All right, let me make sure you got the time frame. All right, so back here's Babel. You with me? Back here's Babel, Tower of Babel back here. And then you've got the children of Israel in bondage in Egypt. And then Moses comes along and they get delivered. And then Joshua takes them into the land after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Joshua takes them in and then they conquer the land. And you've got the 12 tribes now dispersed throughout the land. And then you have the period of the judges. All right, so they are newly in the land. In the book of Judges, when they went into the land, the Canaanite lived there. The Canaanite was there, and God called judges, men who would be used to deliver the children of Israel from the oppression of the Canaanites. All right, so. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. It says, then Jerubbabel, however you want to say it, but Jerubbabel, all right? Here is Gideon. That's who this is, all right? And who is Gideon? Look at it. Then Jerubbabel, who is Gideon? And all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. Now, notice the Midianites. All right, now who were the Midianites? Well, they were Canaanites. They lived in the land. And they were the descendants of Midian. And they basically dwelt down in the desert. All right? They dwelt down Beersheba and south, on down into Saudi Arabia, what is today Saudi Arabia. So here is Gideon, one of the men that God chooses to be a judge. And Gideon is called of God, and he's going to fight against the Midianites. Now, you know the story. You remember that Gideon got an army of 30,000 men, and then God said, no, you got too many. And so it got whittled down to 10,000. And then God said, nope, you still got too many. And Gideon said, but Lord, the Midianites, they outnumber us 6 to 1. And God said, trust me, Gideon, I'm going to show you I'm God. And so Gideon kept on, and they whittled it down to where Gideon had 300 men. Remember the story? And the Midianites were camped, and they got on the mountains all around them and took a pitcher and put a candle in it, oil and a wick, and they took a trumpet and they blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers, and when the Midianites looked up on the mountains, all they could see were lights scattered here and there, and they thought that there were hundreds of thousands of Israelites ready to pounce and kill them all. And they just went, they panicked. And they started fighting one another. And God delivered 300 men with only 300 men, the entire Midian army. All right, so that's what's being described here. You know the story of Gideon. All right, now look at chapter 8 and in verse 18. It says, "Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even my sons, even the sons of my mother, as the Lord liveth. If ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us. For as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Now, here's what happened. These two guys, these two princes of the Midians, were cowards. And when they escaped the battle, and they took off, and Gideon saw them and went after them. And when he caught up to them, Zeba and Zalmunna faced him and said, all right, let's see what you got, big boy. All right, that's in Hebrew. You got to know, you got to understand that. And so Gideon killed the both of them. All right, he killed the both of them. And then look at the last phrase in verse 21. And took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. They tried to escape by camel. Now, I've showed you this before, but there are a lot of new folks. So look at verse 8. You see the word ornaments? I have a Cambridge Bible. King James Cambridge Bible. The Cambridge Bible, printed in Cambridge University over in England. And they've been printing this Bible for a long time. And they use, in the center column, they use the cross references translator's notes. Yeah, that's it. The translator's notes of the King James translators themselves. All right? So the King James translators, the men who translated the book of Judges from Hebrew into English, they made little notes as they went, as they translated, and cross-referenced everything that they could find. And they put a little 8 beside the word ornaments. So if you have a Cambridge Bible, you have a little 8 in front of the word ornaments. And when you look over at the 8 in the center column, it says this, and took away the ornaments like the moon. You say, Pastor, what's the point? The point is, you've seen these folks that wear a cross around their necks. You know, if you got Christ in your heart, I really don't see why you need to wear him around your neck on a cross. That's just me. I wouldn't do it. They were displaying their religion. They were followers of Baal. They were followers of Baal, the religion that came out of the Tower of Babel. It was not yet called Islam. It did not get that name until 1,500 years later. But this was way back there when Moses and Joshua first took the children of Israel out of Egypt. That's how old this is. Folks, the point is, when they got to the land, that religion was already there. They had been worshiping that false religion since the Tower of Babel. So in 620 AD, when Muhammad got his vision and was given this quote unquote new religion he claims to have received, he said that he got this religion, and these are his words. He said that he got this religion from the Illuminated One. That's who he claims gave him his religion. The Illuminated One. Now, can I remind you that in Judges 8 and verse 21, took away the ornaments. The word ornaments here is the Hebrew word saharon, S-A-H-A-R-O-N. Now, I don't know Hebrew. I'm just telling you what others have said, but I can read. All right? And the word ornaments is the Hebrew word saharon. This word comes from the root sahar, which means illuminous. All right, you get that? The word sahar means illuminous. This is the root word from which many of the names that are given to the devil are found in Scripture. Sahar, Satan. All right? Now, Paul said in the New Testament that Satan is able to transform himself into an angel of light. Remember that? The Illuminated One. Ezekiel said that the Illuminated One, the devil, was the most beautiful of all the angels. In Isaiah 14 and verse 12, the Hebrew word Hayel, H-E-Y-E-L, is translated Lucifer. You want to hear a real coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. Folks, we're dealing with the same religion. The Hebrew word translated Lucifer, which, by the way, is the only time in the entire Bible where we are told that the devil's name is Lucifer. There is not another verse that calls him that name. Only one. And it's in Isaiah 14:12. And the King James translators translated the Hebrew word Hayel, H-E-Y-E-L, they translated it Lucifer. Ironically, in Arabic, the word Hayel means crescent moon. Isn't that something? In Hebrew, it's the name for Lucifer. But in Arabic, Hayel means a crescent moon. Now, folks, think of this. There is nothing, the devil, it's just the same old stuff. All he does is put a new dress on the old harlot. That's all he does. And if you will just stop and think about it, there have been a lot of people who have had, through the years, a visit from the Illuminated One. Muhammad got a visit, and he received the Quran and the Islam religion from the Illuminated One. Let me remind you that Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, got a visit from the Illuminated One. Let me remind you that Mary Baker Eddy Patterson, remember her? Some of you have been around a little while. She got a visit from the Illuminated One. And what came out of that? Scientology. Isn't it amazing how all those Hollywood wackadoodles just love Scientology? And Mary Baker Eddy Patterson, I think she married seven or eight times before she finally wore out. But she got a visit from the Illuminated One and came up with this Scientology religion. All right, sit still. All right, got your seatbelt pulled? Oral Roberts got a visit from the Illuminated One. Remember that? And he got on national television and he told everybody that the Illuminated One told him that America was to give him $10 million so he could build a hospital to take care of sick people. And if people didn't give it to him, God was going to kill him. Now, he got nine, maybe it was one short. So he got on TV again, and he begged people to give him that last $1 million or God was going to kill him. Now, folks, I've read this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and that just doesn't sound like my God. I tell you who it sounds like. Yeah. It sounds like the other inspiration for religion, for false religion. And you see that other one, he gave the world a religion that said, if you don't convert, then we're going to chop your head off. My God said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples in that ye love one another. Big difference. Big difference. The point is, the Illuminated One has one goal in mind, and that is to keep people away from God's truth. It was his goal at Babel. It was his goal with the religion of Baal. It was his goal with Islam. It is his goal with Scientology and Mormonism and all the other deceptions that have been pawned off on an unsuspecting world. And my point is, folks, that Islam was nothing more than an offering of the Illuminated One of the same religion that had been in the Middle East ever since the Tower of Babel. It is an imitation religion. That's all it is. It has a church. They call them mosques. It has a sacred text, just imitating truth. And that's all the devil can do, is imitate. He cannot produce the real thing. They have a church, they call them mosques. They have a sacred text called the Quran. They have an eschatology where Muslims destroy God's people, and instead of Christ sitting upon the throne in Jerusalem with the world in submission to God, they have the Mahdi sitting on the throne in Jerusalem with the world in submission to Allah, who is the God of the crescent moon. Do you understand all that? Soon you'll see on your news, you're going to see on the news where they are going in by the millions to Mecca. You say, well, what's in Mecca? Well, the illuminated one did something. It's amazing. They have this thing over there in Mecca called the Kaaba, K-A-A-B-A. They call it the Kaaba, the black stone. And you've seen them on TV. They make a pilgrimage to Mecca. You've heard that phrase, haven't you? And that is one of the foundational tenets of Islam. All right, you say Allah is God and Muhammad is His prophet thing. That's one tenet. You bow to Mecca five times a day and during the hours of prayer. You always face towards Mecca, no matter where you are in the world. You have to give, all right? And then one of the other tenets is what they call the Hajj, H-A-A-J. And the Hajj is where you make a trip to Mecca. Now, you got to be a Muslim to do this, all right? If you're not a Muslim, you can't get in. Saudi Arabia will not let you in. So you can't just say, well, I believe I'll go visit the Kaaba. No, you can't do that. Yeah, they won't let you in. But the Muslims, they go to this to do this Hajj. This is their holy time. And when they get to Mecca, they bow to this rock, to this Kaaba. Now, when they're away from it, no matter where they are, five times a day, they will stop, they will lay down a prayer rug, they'll get on their knees, and they will bow towards Mecca at least 17 times in each one of these five times that they bow, and they will show their submission to Allah. Now, what is so special about this black stone, this Kaaba? Well, this black stone was built on top of a meteorite that had fallen out of the sky. Did you catch that? A falling, say it, star. All right, a falling star. Can I remind you that Isaiah said that the devil was an illuminated one? He was luminous. All right, so they built this black rock over top of a meteorite that had fallen out of the sky. And this was not the first time something like this had happened. Go over to the book of Acts real quick. Man, it's already time to quit. Good grief. And you gave it to me early. Go over to Acts 19. Acts 19. All right. Paul is in Ephesus. And look at verse 30. Look at verse 34. And when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town's clerk, by the way, great is Diana of the Ephesians. What do they? What are these? What do these people cry when they're getting ready to blow themselves up and kill people? Allah, what? Akbar. You know what Akbar means? Great. Great. All right. So here's Paul in Ephesus, and he's preaching the gospel, and they come around and start crying louder than he can speak. And what are they crying out? They're crying out, Diana, Akbar. Great is Diana. Great is Diana. You say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? Luke tells us that that the temple of Diana was in Ephesus. And if you go back and research the temple of Diana, you will find out that they built that temple over top of a meteor that had fallen out of the sky. And they said that it was sent down from Jupiter. All right, not Jupiter the planet, but Jupiter the head of the gods. You say, well, Pastor, who was Diana? Diana is the Roman goddess whose Greek name was Aphrodite. All right? She was the moon goddess of Roman mythology. She was the goddess of lust and sensuality. So this is not the first time the moon goddess has been connected with a temple being built over a falling star. That's the point. You got it? All right. Now, what do we know about this Kaaba? Well, there was a guy back in the lived in 676 A.D. Now remember, Muhammad started and established this religion in 620. So just 50 years later, there was a preacher, there was a Bible believer whose name was John, no connection over here, trust me, John of Damascus, all right? John of Damascus wrote a book that he entitled Concerning Heresy. And in this book, he said some things. Here's what he said. He was talking about the Islamists. Remember, they're just 50 years old. Muhammad's dead, but the religion lives. And he organized. They all now have a book called the Quran. They're following that book, making it up as they go. And here's what he said about the Islamists. John said, these were idolaters and people who reverenced the morning star and Aphrodite, whom they indeed named Akbar in their own language, which means great. Now, folks, get that. 1,400 years ago, John of Damascus said that the Muslims reverenced the morning star and reverenced Aphrodite, whom they called Akbar. Now, question, what do the terrorists scream just before they detonate themselves and blow people up? They scream Allah Akbar, which means Allah is great. Now, listen to what John of Damascus went on to say. Watch this now. Here's a guy who, with his own eyeballs, is watching this religion sprout. And here's what he said. He said, Aphrodite is actually Alat, A-L-L-A-T. You say, well, who's Alat? Alat is the feminine root for the name Allah. The feminine name, a root of the name Allah. And he then said, to prove his point, don't miss this now, he said, even the Greek historian Herodotus, writing in the 5th century before Christ, considers Allat, the feminine Allah, considers Allat the equivalent of Aphrodite when he wrote, the Assyrians call Aphrodite Mylitta, but the Arabians call her Allat. The early Muslims believed that Allah and Aphrodite lived in that star, that meteor that fell. And when it fell, they put a statue of Aphrodite in there and built this stone over top of it. Now, Herodotus said it was very common for people to name their children after Allat. Very common. One more verse. Go back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, now here's Nehemiah. You remember Nehemiah was he's the one that came back to rebuild the walls. And in verse 19 it says, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Now, I want you to look real carefully now at verse 19 in the first part of that verse. Look at the name Sanballat. All right? Now take your finger and put your finger over the first four letters of that name. And what do you see? Allat. Allat. That is the female, feminine root for Allah. Even in Nehemiah's day, they were naming their children after the God that they served. Do you see it? They were naming their children. Now, mind you, this was 1,000 years. 1,000 years before Muhammad sat down and put this thing in, put this religion together in the Quran. Do you see the first part of his name? Look at the first part. Sanballat. All right? San is the word sin, which is the moon god, and Allat is Aphrodite. This man's name, Sanballat. Remember reading how the children of Israel went into the wilderness of sin? Now you and I think, oh, that was an evil place. No, it's not sin like you commit sin. It was named after the moon goddess. That was it. Sin, the wilderness of sin, the moon goddess. So here is this Sanballat guy. Who was he? I'll tell you who he was. He was a thorn, a constant thorn in the side of Nehemiah, who did everything in his power to stop the rebuilding of the walls and the rebuilding of the temple. He constantly harassed and intimidated and terrorized and did everything in his power to stop the Jews. And folks, this was 1,000 years before Muhammad. But my point to you is it's the same religion. It just didn't have the name Islam on it yet. Worshipping the moon god, worshipping Aphrodite, just like they do today. You look on top of every mosque in the world, and what's on top of it? A crescent moon. That's their symbol. Amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. Now, I said one more verse, but let me give you one more verse. Turn over to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Look at verse 1. Well, I declare, look at there. Well, who knew that was in the Bible? Huh? 46:1. What's it say? Bel. Bel. Bel boweth down. Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to a weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Right there it is. The only thing that will one day stop all this madness that has been created by the devil is for the Lord Jesus to come back and stop it. And here Isaiah saw Bel. Notice that. Not Baal, but Bel. Isaiah called him by the name he originally had when this whole attempt at rebellion by the devil was started and created. But God says that the day is coming when Bel will bow before the Lord of heaven. So I'm going to stick with the Bible and God's truth. I'm going to follow that. Folks, he's coming again. I hope you're ready.